This is Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. The 2012 Olympic Games will be starting at the end of this month, July 27th. They are a remarkable testimony to the use of sport as a way of building peaceful relations between countries. But behind all the glitter and excitement, there is a stark truth. Much of the equipment, souvenirs, and other materials, such as uniforms, are produced by workers in low-wage countries. This is not a newly discovered truth. It has been happening for years. Yet politicians can still profess their innocence in all this. Just recently, legislators in the United States expressed surprise that the uniforms to be worn by Team USA at the Olympic Games were made in China. I talked to Jyrki Reyna about the issue. Mr. Reyna is the General Secretary of the Global Union Federation Industrial. Amongst the unions Industrial represents at the world level are unions of textile workers. In this first of a two-part series, I asked Mr. Reyna if the legislators in the U.S. should have been surprised by the fact that the U.S. uniforms were being produced in China.
Well, not at all. First of all, I would appreciate it if the legislators would be concerned of the erosion of the whole U.S. manufacturing base. Millions of jobs have disappeared during the past years. Now, Industrial wants to make the case for the manufacturing industry as the engine of national economies. But for it to be thriving, you need investment in infrastructure, in skills and training of the workers, in innovation, research and development, and also affordable energy prices. And this is clearly what is lacking in the U.S. Now, as regards textile industry, it has always been mobile. But during many years now, outsourcing has been the word. You just need to look at the labels on the clothes you are wearing to see where garments and footwear is being produced. The end of trade regulations, such as the multi-fiber trade agreement, expired at the end of 2004. It led to the loss of millions of textile and garment jobs in industrialized and developing countries alike. And imports from some countries increased. For example, the volume of textile imports to the U.S. from China more than doubled from 2004 to 2011. Now, decisions on where to manufacture, they are based on financial calculations rather than human rights concerns. The Industrial does not decry the fact that developing countries do need jobs for their growing populations, but we insist that they have to be good jobs without exploitation by companies from the industrialized world. Team USA is not alone in having their uniforms manufactured abroad. Adidas has £100 million or $150 US deal, sponsorship deal with the organizers of the London 2012 Olympics. They provide sportswear for the British Olympic and Paralympic Associations, and they own exclusive licensing rights for all sportswear sold at London 2012 venues and stores. Like Ralph Lauren, Adidas is not manufacturing the majority of its products in the UK or even in Europe, but it is sourcing its Olympic apparel from a range of low-wage countries, including China, Cambodia, India, Indonesia, Pakistan, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Sri Lanka. Even worse, the UK retail company Next are providing uniforms for Team Great Britain during the opening and closing ceremonies, and linen for the Athletic Village. But they have refused to publicly disclose where they are sourcing these products. If they have nothing to hide, why be so secretive?
Why does clothing, such as sports uniforms, have such low sticker prices?
Well, multinational textile and garment companies no longer own their own production facilities or employ workers directly. They outsource to a range of countries, such as China, India, Vietnam, and Bangladesh. It is cheaper to manufacture in such countries where there is poor enforcement of international labor standards, and few workers in the industry are paid a living wage. At the same time, because of the practice of outsourcing, multinationals do not carry the burden of risk. The risks are passed on to the factory and mostly to the workers who manufacture the goods, and they are paid poverty wages. In many cases, they are denied social security, and they often work for many years in extremely precarious employment relationships. Now, the global economic and global crisis, it had an impact on consumer spending, but it put even more pressure on factories to produce the same goods but for lower cost. And workers, rather than the multinational companies, suffered. For example, it would take a Sri Lankan garment worker 14,000 years to earn what Nike's CEO earned in 2010. So brands consolidated their supply chains and factories, and those who couldn't compete, they closed, usually without warning, and they often left workers without severance payments and with unpaid wages. In a sense, we enjoy such low-price clothing because it's the workers who manufacture the products who pay the price.
What is Industrial, along with other labor organizations, doing to help the situation of workers in the Olympic supply chain?
Well, first of all, Industrial is part of the Playfair campaign. Playfair has since 2003 called on those who organize and profit from sports events to take specific steps to ensure that workers who make sporting goods and those who build the venues are not exploited, and that international labor standards are respected in the workplace as well as in the stadium. In May this year, Playfair published a report which examined working conditions in Olympic supply chains. And the report found that far from being paid a wage sufficient to meet basic needs and to provide some discretionary income, which was a requirement for all London 2012 suppliers, workers were receiving poverty wages. In the Philippines, half of the workers who spoke with the researchers, they told that they pawned their ATM cards to loan sharks in return for payday loans. And without this, they couldn't make ends meet despite working more than 60 hours a week during busy periods. And in Sri Lanka, the workers earned as little as $79 per month, according to the report. And it was estimated that this was only one quarter of a living wage. So we have launched a public campaign which calls on multinational companies to do more than pay lip service to human rights. They need to pay prices that enable suppliers to pay a living wage, and they need to make sure that factories have the capacity to meet deadlines without requiring long working hours. And they need to go beyond audits and engage workers and their unions in the efforts to truly understand what conditions in supplier factories are like. So we have brought complaints related to working conditions in the Philippines and China to the London Olympic Committee using the official complaints mechanism. And we are calling the brands sourcing from Sri Lanka to engage in dialogue with unions. Another important campaign target is the International Olympic Committee. The IOC says that it aims to build a better world through sport, and it promotes values of fair play, respect, and equality. We call on it to live up to this rhetoric. For example, we demand that the IOC make it a requirement for National Olympic Committees to include respect for international labor standards in their contracts with the companies supplying goods and services. In addition to this Playfair campaign, which is pretty comprehensive, we work around the world to build stronger unions, to give workers the capacity to defend their rights and to give them the right to join the union, which of course is enshrined in international conventions of the ILO.
It seems that this issue is raised every time there is an international sporting event. What has the labor movement learned during this current round of Olympic Games, which can help garment workers in developing countries in the future?
Well, there has been a considerable media interest and public interest in these ethical questions before the London Olympics, and it's not only related to the garment sector. Just today, Industrial participated in a ceremony in London where Rio Tinto, the mining giant, received the Greenwash Gold Award for its horrific performance in terms of environmental protection, human rights violations, and fighting against trade unions. Rio Tinto is the mining company which produces the metals of which the medals for the elites, these wonderful athletes that will receive them in London Olympics, are made of. But more than ever, it's clear that brands and Olympic organizers are concerned about their reputation, and we have to remain vocal about worker exploitations. Some progress has been made during this round of Olympic Games, but we are not satisfied that the London Organizing Committee and brands have done enough to ensure respect for workers' rights. For instance, the organizing committee agreed that all suppliers and licensees should comply with a code of conduct, which includes respect for trade union rights, that living wages are paid, and that regular employment must be provided. Yet no mechanism was developed to inform workers in majority of countries about their rights. The organizing committee introduced a complaints mechanism so workers could air grievances, but it didn't even translate the complaints procedure. At the end of August, the focus will shift to Brazil, where the World Cup, Football World Cup 2014 and Olympics 2016 in Rio de Janeiro will be held. We are ready for this. Play for Brazil was launched over a year ago, and unions in the construction and textile sectors, as well as NGOs and civil society groups, are already working together on the campaign. We will not accept that Brazil start from scratch. Brazil must build on the steps that the London Olympic Committee has taken, but go much further to ensure that the games are not diminished by the abuse of the very workers who make the games happen. And we will continue towards the Football World Cup in Qatar, where a country where trade unions are legal as we know them. We will continue this campaign all over the world until every worker has the right to join a union of their choice, until decent wages are paid, and until decent working hours are applied.